Hello and welcome to the Scholar Circle, scholarcircle.org. I'm Maria Armudian. Birds, bees, whales, and turtles all use the Earth's magnetic field to guide them and their behavior. Now scientists have learned much more about how. With us is Andres Vidal-Gadea. He is a professor of molecular neuroethology at Illinois State University and has made fascinating discoveries. Welcome to the Scholar Circle, Andres Vidal-Gadea. It's great to have you here. This research that you've done related to the magnetic field of the Earth and how all these species use it, quite fascinating. Your article starts with sort of a broad stroke about the purpose of the magnetic field itself for the Earth, but also for the animals. Do you think we could start for our listeners with a bit of Earth Magnetic Field 101?
Yes, the inside of the Earth is made of molten material, and this is turning all the time, and pretty much like an engine is generating huge magnetic field that expands far into space. This magnetic field, as far as we know, protects life on Earth from harmful radiation from the sun, and it also provides a very constant and reliable cue for navigation that animals can use to orient themselves.
Different kinds of animals use this. We know birds use the magnetic field to orient themselves when they migrate. What else? What are the other animals that use it?
Animals like bees, for example, and animals like mole rats, mammals, especially migratory animals like the birds, like whales and other organisms use the magnetic field. In fact, it was only because we weren't looking before that we didn't see how many species are capable of using the Earth's magnetic field to navigate. I originally got started on this on a sea slug that lives in the bottom of the sea and apparently uses the magnetic field to find its way around. So these things are all around us.
So do you suspect, as the scientists studying this, that really all species rely on the magnetic field as a source of information?
I don't think that all species perhaps use the magnetic field, but I think that the list is probably much greater than we anticipated. One of the things that I was very surprised to find out was, well, initially that these tiny little worms that live in the soil will care about the magnetic field, because normally people think of larger, more mobile organisms using the magnetic field. That kind of opened the possibility that maybe there are all kinds of little animals in the ground that are using the magnetic field all the time, and we didn't pay attention to it before. I think that, in my mind at least, animals that need to navigate in their environment are the ones that may use it, especially animals that, like the worms that live in an environment that is devoid of other kind of sensory information, perhaps. They can use the magnetic field to help them find their way around.
So birds, of course, butterflies, bees, you mentioned whales. Your article mentioned wolves. How would wolves even detect the magnetic field?
There are a couple of ways in which people believe animals can detect the magnetic field. One of them relies on tiny little intracellular magnets inside certain cells of organisms, and this is certainly the case for some bacteria, and people have identify these particles in bees and in other animals. The second way that people believe animals can detect the magnetic field is with some specialized photoreceptors in their eyes. And this applies to many birds and other species. The idea here is that perhaps a photoreceptor cell in the eye, in the retina of these birds or animals, may be able to see the magnetic field just like we can see color. And from that, inform the animal which way they need to go. And so I think that in the case of the wolf and other mammals that people looked at, that's the idea that right now they have. But this is one of the things, right? We can do experiments that inform us that an organism can orient to magnetic fields, but it's a very different thing to find out where the cells that detect the magnetic field or how these animals are actually detecting. That's what makes it really difficult. And that's one of the things that the little worm we work with comes in really handy, because it only has 1,000 cells altogether. So it makes it a lot easier to hunt.
Let's talk about what you found and how you conducted the experiment. You wanted to see how this worm operates with the magnetic field. So you used a means of manipulating the magnetic field. Why don't you tell us the process, and then let's talk about what you've discovered.
Sure. Originally, it was a very simple idea. I came across an article where some scientists have indicated that they found these tiny magnetic particles inside the worm. And having been working with this as an undergraduate, I was like thinking, well, if they have these tiny particles in there, maybe they can detect the magnetic field. So the first experiment that I did was simply to put a magnet next to a plate which had worms in it. And after a few minutes, we noticed that the worms went towards the magnet. And right then and there, we realized, wow, these animals can definitely tell that it's a magnet over there. So after that, we tried to be more sophisticated. So we built a magnetic cage. And this is just a box that allows us to control the magnetic field within it. So we can dial any kind of magnetic field that we want. And sure enough, we started testing the animals in there. And we noticed that in this magnetic cage, the worms didn't just go along with the magnetic field, but they rather chose a particular direction to it. And once we started thinking about why will these worms go at a particular angle to the magnetic field, and after a while of scratching our head, we looked at where these worms came from, and we realized these worms came from England. And if these worms were in England, in the soil, the direction that they were going to the magnet was the same direction that would take them up or down in the soil if they were migrating to the earth field in England.
You had Australian worms, you had British worms, you had Hawaiian worms,
yes.
And you had equatorial worms. And yes. They all did different things, which is, I think, quite fascinating. Can you walk us through?
Sure, yeah. So most of the, if you think of an animal that can orient to the magnetic field, the great majority of animals, people immediately would think of birds that migrate north or they migrate south. These are animals that are moving horizontally, so to speak, in the environment. Now, the magnetic field, it has a horizontal component, and we use it to go north, east, west. These are the directions that we are familiar with. But the magnetic field also has an angle to it, to the ground. And so you could imagine the magnetic field being perpendicular to the soil if you were in the North Pole or in the South Pole, and being horizontal or parallel to the soil if you were in the equator. And we knew there were worms isolated from all parts of the world. There are worms isolated from something like 100 countries. And so we could easily get a hold of these animals and bring them to a lab, and then we test them. So the idea was the following. If the worms use the magnetic field like a bird to migrate horizontally, then worms from the equator should be able to do this no problem, because in the equator the magnetic field is horizontal to the and parallel to the ground. However, if worms use the magnetic field to go up and down, then worms from the equator may not be able to do this, because in the equator the magnetic field is not vertical. And this is exactly what we found. We found that worms that were close to the equator did not really orient to the magnetic field, but worms that were from the northern parts of the world, like Canada and England, they did this very well. And worms that were from the southern hemisphere, like Australia, were also able to do this. The trick is that in the north hemisphere, the magnetic field is pointing down, with the north pointing down, while in the southern hemisphere, the magnetic field, the north is pointing up. And so the polarity is reversed. And according to that, we also saw that Australian worms were moving at the opposite direction than British worms would.
You also noticed that if they were hungry, they reacted differently.
Yes, and this gave me a huge headache at first, because the first assay the first time I did this assay, it worked beautifully, and all the worms went towards the magnet. And then I tried to do it again, and then they went away for the magnet. And I was trying to understand why sometimes the worms will go one way and sometimes they will go the other way. Clearly, they could tell there was a magnet there, because otherwise they would just go in random directions. But in this case, they knew, but they were just trying to confuse me. And it took a while to realize that it would only take 15 minutes for a nice and happy, well-fed worm to start to feel hungry. And at that point, they decided to go the opposite direction. And so once we figured this out, then it was easier to do the experiments. But for a while, we just didn't know what was going on there.
So you had to starve some worms.
Yes. So eventually we decided to either run the assays with the animals that were just out of the food and immediately into the assay, or we could choose to just put them away from food for 15, 30 minutes and then run the assay, and that did the trick, right? And then the worms will consistently go either towards the magnet or away from the magnet, and depending on whether they were hungry or starved. And of course, we didn't know why they would do that, and it wasn't until we measure the where the worms were from and the angle at which the magnetic field enters the Earth in England, that we realized that, in fact, what they were doing was kind of going in an upwards direction if they were well-fed and in a downwards direction if they were hungry. So we don't understand exactly why that is, but it looks like if the worms are hungry, they tend to burrow down into the soil, and when they are well-fed, they tend to burrow upwards towards the surface.
Has there been research that ties humanity to magnetic field effects?
There have been some preliminary studies trying to see, you mean, to find out if humans can detect the magnetic field or are affected by it.
Yeah, and if we're just disoriented because we're from the United States but living in New Zealand, for example.
Right. Well, people have put humans in big, dark warehouses, and they have had kind of conflicting results. So it hasn't been consistently proven or disproven that the humans can detect the magnetic field. I can tell you that some of these magnetic particles that we find in all these animals that detect magnetic fields, people have found those in the brain of humans as well. And some of these receptors that birds have and some of the molecules that people believe are implicated in seeing the magnetic field in the case of birds, they have found some of these in humans as well. So I think that we have the hardware to do this. Now, whether we do it, I don't know. And it could be a combination of things, right? Mostly modern humans, we are extremely good with our eyes and finding our way around using our sense of vision. And for the most part, we don't really need to migrate great distances anymore anyway, like a bird or a turtle may have to in the ocean. We're pretty much set, and we don't engage in this huge migration. So perhaps we have it, and we just haven't had to use it for a long time.
Finally, I was wondering as I was reading your paper about whether or not technological changes that humans have made, if they alter the ability to detect any kind of magnetic force from the Earth because of the use that humanity has put with magnets, like using magnets in all kinds of technological products.
Oh, I think that that is certainly a possibility, and people have started to look into that. I am sad and at the same time happy. I can't see magnetic fields because we definitely surround ourselves with them, and if we could see them, we would probably be blinded by them. People have started to notice that even power lines that also generate any kind of electricity, any wire in your house or in your office that conducts electricity will create a magnetic field. And people have found that power lines are strong enough to confuse migratory birds when they are traveling. There is no telling what subterranean lines can do to the insects and other organisms that live in the soil. So I definitely think that we definitely have the ability to change how animals navigate their environment and how they go about their business by putting out these huge magnetic fields all around us and ever more powerful and more present everywhere, basically.
Where do you think your research is going to go next?
Thanks. And we are at the moment, we have the cell, we discovered the cell that can detect the magnetic field in this little animal. And at the moment we're investigating, I started my lab here at Illinois, and my students are working to find out how does this cell convert magnetic energy into neuronal information. There's got to be some moving parts in this little cell that are transforming one kind of energy into the other. And we believe that possibly the mechanism how this takes place is probably going to be repeated in many other species. So we are looking into that. And another thing that I have some students working on is we want to know what happens if you withdraw the magnetic field from around animals. And, you know, people are trying to make plans to travel far into space and go to Mars, maybe, and that would be far away from the Earth's magnetic field where all life has evolved. And so we are growing animals in a zero magnetic field chamber, and then we're trying to see what genes or what happens to the animal when that takes place.
Andreas Vidal-Gadea, thank you so much for being with us here on the Scholar Circle.
Thank you very much for having me.
Andreas Vidal-Gadea is a professor of molecular neuroethology at Illinois State University and has made fascinating discoveries.